former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Everybody, week 11 in the NFL brought the fireworks once again, and it's just going to get better tonight. Eagles Chiefs still to come on Monday Night Football in a rematch of Super Bowl 57. Great couple of hours ahead here on the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. We'll preview Monday night in a bit, but first, lots of reaction to everything yesterday. Wow. We had quarterback news, a potential quarterback change upcoming, Michael, and a lot of coaches whose hot seats are scorching right now.
You know, and a lot of thinking of the game, the way it was going to go, and it goes, but it doesn't go that way. You know, the Raiders, you know, give up over 400 yards. You think that's an easy cover, and yet they hold the Miami Dolphins to 20 points, score six in the second half, and don't score. Cowboys benefited from, we watched that, Cowboys benefited from a couple calls at the end of the first half. They easily cover. You know, it was one of those weekends where, you know, if you had the wrong number, like Houston and Arizona, and the contest was 4.5, most everywhere else it was 5, you lose. If you had the right number, you know, Minnesota and 2 or 2.5 or 3, you win. So it was a, I'm sure when we talk to Thomas Gable, he's going to have to make an extra room for all the money he made this weekend.
No question. And to your point, like a lot of games that were hanging in the balance where you thought pretty firmly one team was going to win and then it flipped. I think Minnesota, who you mentioned there, is a great example on Sunday Night Football against the Denver Broncos, where they lead all game. You think they're going to get it done. And then Russell Wilson hits Cortland Sutton on that final drive, and that's all she wrote. Same thing with the Bears and Lions yesterday, where the Bears are up 2 scores in the fourth quarter, and then the Lions end up pulling a rabbit out of their hat, which, Michael, that brings me to a good talking point here, because I asked you yesterday, which one of these over a touchdown favorites is going to mess up the money line parlays, right? And we thought that it was going to be the Bears. They almost did. Instead, it ends up being the Washington Commanders, Michael, who have 6 turnovers and lose to Tommy DeVito and the Giants.
And that leads us into really the conversation for, thankfully, it's Thanksgiving, so no one's probably going to get fired this week, but that's the loss. Forget about not being able to shower at FedEx Field after the game because there was no hot water. I mean, how does that happen? I don't know. But you can't lose to Tommy DeVito. You can't turn the ball over 6 times. You can't sack their opposing quarterback 9 times and walk out of there as a loser again and again, right? They run the ball for over 6 yards a carry. The quarterback's in the blue tent once again, and they're wondering why they're losing games. It really is. I said this to Femi on the podcast, and I'll ask you this question. If Mike Vrabel coached this Washington football team, what do you think their record would be?
Well, it's no way what it is right now. Like, you look at the way that this team, there's no way. And I feel bad because Mike Vrabel is another name, Michael, that's been popping up on the hot seat because of the losing record that they've had this year. But I don't put the way that the Titans are losing on Mike Vrabel, right? And like with this Washington Commanders team, Ron Rivera was on the hot seat coming into this season, and it's only gotten worse as the season has gone on.
No question. And they haven't gotten better. I mean, one of the things you want to see during this time of the year is the team improving? Let's take Denver, for example, right? I call Denver basically what Sean Payton did is what is the Apollo 13 leadership, right? So he takes it in the movie Apollo 13, all the scientists are in the room, the 3 astronauts are stuck up in space, and the guy walks into the room and he dumps this cardboard box on the table and says, "We have to get them home. We've got to take this using that and make it into this," right? And so they figure out a solution. Well, that's essentially the job of a head coach in the NFL. Once you figure out what your team is, Mike Tomlin does this better than anybody, right? He figures out who he is, and then he coaches the team along those lines. Washington never does this. Washington just runs, they're just going to pass the ball over the place, even though they can't stop anybody on defense, even though they can't pass protect. They just play within their weaknesses. And the good coaches play to their strengths. Poor Mike Vrabel. I mean, I think we have to remove the Mike Vrabel dog theory. I think all those numbers that we cite here, Mike Vrabel is a dog, 4-point, this team is not equipped to win right now, especially with Levis at quarterback, right? They're going through a transformation, And we're going to accept that. Now, they're playing Carolina this week, so we may have to back that off. However, that being said, you know, there's some times where it doesn't apply. But when you watch what Denver's done, what Sean's done with his team, compared to what Frank Wright's done with his team, compared to what Ron Rivera's done with his team, compared to what the great Brendan Staley's been doing with his team, you wonder, like, this is why he gets paid as much as he does, Peyton, because he's a really good head coach.
Yeah, where you have some teams right now where you look to the coaching as the issue, and then you have a team like Denver, to your point, in Sean Payton, where they started the year off slow, and there's a lot of talk about making changes, and you're not seeing it on the football field. He's been able to get that buy-in and the culture and the understanding, and now we're seeing that shift where the Denver Broncos now have the most consecutive wins in the NFL at 4 in a row at this point. But I like that you said the thing about the hot water being gone last night at FedEx Field. I think it's because all of the hot water Ron Rivera is out there in right now. And I don't know, initially, yeah, when we were talking about this team, like, you thought that, okay, let's say the Commanders do go ahead and make a coaching change midseason, give Eric Bieniemy an opportunity to be in the interim, see what he's got. But look at what the offense is doing. Like, I think Eric Bieniemy is going to be out the door too.
They throw the ball, they move the ball. It's great. But they don't ever play the game to win. They're looking for stats. Whereas, you know, let's just go to Denver. Denver's not, they had 12 first downs yesterday. They had 12, they couldn't run the ball. They made a few plays. Everybody's talking like Russell Wilson's being a Pro Bowl, he's back to being. No, they're managing Russell. They're not letting Russell beat them. They're going to take what the defense gives them. They're going to play smart. They're not going to turn the ball over, and they're going to let the other team make mistakes. Minnesota, unfortunately, had 3 fumbles. You know, once again, Josh Dobbs has a hard time hanging on to the ball. The other thing Denver does is they take the points. They have no problem taking the field goal. They have no problem taking the field. And you know what happens, Stormy, when you take the field goal early in a game? What happens? Those points help you win. They help you win. When you don't take the field goal and you don't go for it, and you go for it on fourth down and you come up empty, nobody says a word. That field goal he kicked when everybody was booing, it won the game for him.
All right, Michael, we'll get back to some coaches in a moment, but there is a report out there right now that the Jets and Robert Saleh are going to go ahead and move on from Zach Wilson, that Tim Boyle is going to start against the Dolphins this coming week. Of course, Wilson got benched in the second half of the game yesterday against the Bills. It was an ugly one, 32-6. They end up losing, which, will the real Buffalo Bills please stand up? But I think this is a significant thing because for all of the talk that Robert Saleh has had all season long defending Zach Wilson, he gives us the best chance to win. Even as recent as last week, saying he's actually playing pretty good. We get that on the field yesterday. And I mean, neither Wilson or Boyle were any good, though. So what's the real change?
No, of course they weren't. Have you seen Boyle play? Has he seen Boyle play before? I mean, seriously, he's going to go. I mean, this is what he's going to go with. This is his best option. Look, I think Zach Wilson lacks competitive stamina. The season's too long for the kid. He just can't focus, prepare, concentrate, and play all the way through. And the notion that the Jets defense can carry him, and you can make excuses because their offense isn't good, yet Cleveland's defense is carrying their bad offense right now, right? I mean, they are. I know they played Pittsburgh, who wasn't very good, but still. You know, I mean, Zach Wilson, he's horrendous on third down. They cannot run the football at all. I mean, Boyle is not going to make this any better. Trust me. He's not going to, against Vic Fangio, you're going to start Boyle?
Michael, but what am I missing?
All of a sudden, Robert's done a 360. Now, all of a sudden, he wants to make a change. It's too late. And this whole, I mean, they should be on a 4-game losing streak if Graham Gano makes the field goal, right?
Mm. We have seen a quick line movement, not much, but the Dolphins on Black Friday go from a 7.5-point favorite to 9.5 right now in the immediate movement on DraftKings. But am I missing something with Trevor Siemian? I mean, he's been the practice squad quarterback. He was the guy that a couple weeks ago everybody was talking about. Why Tim Boyle over Siemian?
I don't know why he's not going there. I don't, unless he's watching practice and Siemian isn't very good, but at least Siemian started games. Remember, there was a moment in Denver, a brief moment, that Siemian was supposed to be the heir apparent to Peyton Manning. Now, that didn't work out, but at least he can kind of get into a game. I mean, where are we going with Boyle? And Becton's not going to play at left tackle. He left the field with an ankle injury. The line's horrendous. They can't run block. I mean, I said this yesterday, and I've been saying it for a while. The Miami Dolphins have become a lot like the Chiefs. Everybody focuses how good their offense is, but it's their defense that's really going to win for them. And yesterday, I think it proved itself out. They turned the ball over rapidly, and their defense stayed and kept them from really playing from behind. And I think it's the same thing here. You're going to put their defense is starting to play really good. Wilkins inside, Phillips, Chubb, you know, Van Ginkle, all those guys are starting to play really well, and they can cover. We saw that with Ramsey's two interceptions yesterday. So, like, this is a tough, tough task. I'm shocked it stayed on. I'm shocked it was seven. Even with if Wilson, like, is Wilson worth 2 points? Seriously?
I don't think so. And I mean, even like, let's look at the numbers that we saw in the game yesterday where they were both had seven completions, but Boyle only had 33 yards or so on those seven completions. Like, this is going to be a nightmare for the Jets. And what else is new?
I mean, think about this. Our Thanksgiving, Stormy, features three games where every game is a touchdown or more. There's a touchdown or more dog in the game.
Yep. And
Green Bay, 7.5. Dallas is an 11-point favorite, and Seattle's a 7-point dog at home.
Mm-hmm.
At home. Think about that. Now, I'm sure some money's going to come in on Seattle, but we don't know if Geno Smith's going to play or not.
Yeah, dealing with a reported tricep injury from head coach Pete Carroll. But just to wrap up one last thought on the Jets, Michael, because so much talk has been about, well, Aaron Rodgers is going to be practicing again in December. He's going to be back. You look at the Jets offensive line numbers. They've had 14 different offensive linemen that have played this season, seven different offensive line combinations in 10 games. They're injured. They're not any good. You really going to put your prized possession behind that line? Yeah, nice try. We'll be right back. We are just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. Week 11 was a doozy.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betsgiving is back. Starting Wednesday, all of our VSiN hosts, writers, and analysts are competing in a week-long competition to see who's the best bettor at VSiN. Follow all the bets and leaderboard at VSiN.com or go to the DK Sportsbook app, select social, then betting groups, where you'll be able to join our Betsgiving group and follow all of the action. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. That's going to be a lot of fun this week. Giving thanks for a lot of things, especially hopefully winning bets. But one thing that we won't be giving a whole lot of thanks for is the quarterback play that we're seeing with the New York Jets, because I had one more follow-up to our conversation with, for anybody who missed the report, it appears that Tim Boyle will be the starting quarterback on the Black Friday game for the Jets facing off with the Miami Dolphins. But the timing of this, Michael, I find very interesting because Robert Saleh has had ample opportunity to make a change. We were talking in the commercial break, Carson Wentz was trying to sell his soul to have an opportunity to be on this roster earlier this season. Even Colin Kaepernick was writing letters to the president, but here we are, and now it's Tim Boyle and not one of the better options like a Wentz that could have been available or a Josh Dobbs that could have been available.
Well, when you go back and study Tim Boyle's career, right, he's a college free agent, went to Connecticut, Eastern Kentucky, but he lands in Green Bay. And who's in Green Bay when he lands there? Nathaniel Hackett. So he plays within the Nathaniel Hackett system. This is the classic NFL. This drives me crazy. This drives me absolutely insane. He knows our system. He knows what to do. Brilliant. That sounds great. He can't do it, but he knows what to do, right? It's what I call a bus driver player. Every team has a guy that the coaches love that'll tell the bus driver where the stadium is. Like, he has no idea where the stadium is, right? If we don't have this player on the team bus, the bus will never get to the stadium. It'll never get there, right? And so Boyle is basically, he knows Nathaniel's system. He knows his system. Now, he can't execute. He played three games in Detroit, and that was a disaster, if you remember. Threw six interceptions. How about Jim Nance's comment yesterday? Well, there's a completion. Ugh. To the other team.
Ugh.
You know, and so, like, this is what we're going to do. I mean, at least Trevor Siemian has started a multitude of games now, but he doesn't know what to do. It's so complex to run the West Coast offense, the day one West Coast offense that Nathaniel Hackett's running. I mean, it's really, this is the best you can do. And I'm going to have to listen to what a great general manager Joe Douglas is and how he's the, you know, he's get A's and all that, how much talent this team has. I mean, like, at some point, the object is to win games. It's not to win the draft.
it was a brutal performance yesterday, to say the least. And that Joe Brady offense looked pretty good for Buffalo, too. A 32-6 win for the Buffalo Bills. But another game that I want to make sure we touch on, and I have put you off long enough before you can dive into the Brandon Staley of it all. But the Chargers, Michael, is a 3-point road favorite. Lose in Green Bay, 23-20, a loss you cannot have if you were the Chargers.
Well, there's certain losses. You know, we've talked about this when the Raiders got fired, right? You can't play Brian Hoyer in Chicago and then get beat badly. You lose credibility with the team. The owner loses faith and confidence in you. And there's basically you fired yourself. You can't blame anybody else for it. And this is one of those games. You go into Green Bay, you're a 3-point favorite. You know, you're playing against a quarterback that is really, when you break him down in terms of his lowest percentage completion, throws the ball into tight windows all the time, has a hard time. They've never had a 300-yard game. They played better last week, but they're still struggling. They can't really win close games. They're 1-5 in close games. Not so fast. Here comes the Brandon Staley, who apparently to Brandon Staley, they're playing good defense. As the great Uncle Junior once said, he's so far out of the race, he actually thinks he's in the lead. Like, if he thinks he's been playing good defense for 3 years as the head coach of the Chargers, we're watching completely different years. And I think we've got to stop this nonsense, right? That everybody says, you know, this is common. Jets have a great defense, even though they don't stop anybody when it counts. And the Chargers are really a talented team. Where's the talent? Where is it? Joey Bosa gets hurt every year. Mm. He's played 3 seasons of 16. He hasn't played 16 games in 2 years. He's hurt again. Their offensive line can't pass protect when they know it's pass. The end of the game, they get the ball with 2:33 to go in the game. And they got a chance to get the field goal range. They go 3 and out. They have to punt on 4th and 10. They have 3 timeouts. They get the ball back again. And they can't pass protect. Now, Johnson drops a ball. I get that. But they can't pass protect when they have to. 3rd and 20. They can stop Green Bay, get the ball back. They're in the lead. Oh, no, we get a pass interference call. I mean, it's just, to me, they keep saying they're so talented. Like, I don't see their talent. I think Khalil Mack's still a good player, not an elite player, at the end. Tell me who else I should fear defensively. You think Kenneth Murray's an elite player? They had to sign Eric Kendricks, who, you know, he's wearing number 6 out there. He looks slow. He misses a tackle. That goes for 35 yards. Like, where are they great? Where is all this? Now, Mike Williams is great. Keenan Allen's good. And Herbert's good. Where are they great?
Yeah, where would their offense be without Keenan Allen at this point, by the way? But, yeah, we talked about this with Sean Merriman last week, too. Like, they supposedly have all of this talent, but the talent isn't showing up. They're certainly paid like they're very talented. They're certainly paid like they're going to be out here winning games, but we haven't seen it. And, Michael, now this is a Chargers team that falls to 4-6. And you talk about Staley and the way that he thinks that they're still playing okay. He was feeling the heat a little snappy with reporters post game. Take a listen to this.
I have full confidence, like I've told you, and like I've told you from the beginning, I have full confidence in our way of playing. Full confidence in myself as the play caller and the way that we teach and the way that we scheme. Full confidence in that. We got to bring this group together and do it consistently, okay? And that's where it's at. So you can stop asking that question, okay? I'm going to be calling the defenses, okay? So we're clear. So you don't have to ask that again. There were a lot of other things that caused us to lose today. It certainly wasn't our defense. It was the way we played as a team. We didn't play well enough on the red zone on offense. We dropped too many passes. Okay, we gave up a few killer sacks. Okay, we did this as a team. Stop making it about one unit, because that's not what happened out there today. Our team lost, and I am fully responsible for it, and I take full responsibility. But we lost as a team today, and that's the storyline.
I take full responsibility, but my system works, even though I'm a sub-500 team and have the worst passing defense in the NFL. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable how he can sit there and say that with a straight face. Look, there's never one reason why you lose a game. Okay, I get that. He's right. They're bad in the red zone, but so was Green Bay. Green Bay was 1-for-5 in the red zone yesterday, too. Mm. But they were horrendous on fourth down. They were horrendous on third down. They couldn't get off the field. They're 50%. They allowed 50% on third down. Right? I mean, they couldn't make the plays when they needed to make the plays. I mean, this is a team that, you know, that had opportunity in the game. Granted, they had tremendous opportunity, but when they needed a stop, when they needed to get the ball back, they couldn't. So, and then, like you said, I mean, when he's sitting there talking about defending his defense, he's 31 yards per attempt passing. They can't play pass defense. They couldn't play pass defense the whole time. So, I mean, it sounds to me like he's trying. He obviously is very upset with that reporter. That reporter's been on him because that reporter has seen for 3 years they haven't played good defense. But there's this mythology about them that they're this most talented team. If they're so talented, why the last 20, since the end, beginning of last year, they've been in 28 games decided by 3 points or less, by 7 points or less. Like, they're always in a close game. Yeah. If they were so talented, why aren't they blowing people out?
They've lost 5 games this year by a combined 14 points. So they're playing these close games and they're not able to find any ways to win them. Another team that is not finding ways to win and quite frankly getting blown out more often than they are not is the Carolina Panthers. Frank Reich took back over play calling duties this past week and still only put 10 points on the board against the Dallas Cowboys, who, how lucky are the Cowboys, by the way? They go Giants, Carolina, and then the Commanders this week on a short week. So they got a nice little stretch here of, I imagine, to be large margins of victory. But what do you make of the status in Carolina, the worst team in the NFL right now?
Well, I mean, you know, you just wonder where they're, you know, every time I watch Carolina tape, I never feel like Bryce Young is terrible. And he's thrown 4 pick-sixes. Like, I see him make quick decisions. I see him get rid of the ball. I don't like their offense. I don't like how they protect them. There's a lot of things I don't like about what they do. But I got to say to you, I'm not, and this isn't because I like Bryce coming out. I got to say to you, I think to me there's other things wrong with their offense than Bryce Young. If he were in there, his decision making, there's times I think he looks like Drew Brees. He's always in shotgun. They can't protect for him. They ask him to do things down the field. I mean, I think it's really hard. And look, I'm not going to let this year deter me in terms of what I've seen. Now, if he's bad again next year, maybe. But this, I've said it since the summer. Since the summer, this is a poorly coached Carolina team. It's really bad. It's bad, and it's getting worse. And that's if you're David Tepper, the owner of the team. You got to sit there and say to yourself, wait a minute. You're supposed to improve my team, not make it worse, and they've made it worse. I mean, that game was their own fault. They had penalties in the first half. They're going to get off the field on 3rd and 18. They get a horse collar tackle. They get another penalty at the end of the half. Then they make it 7. It keeps the drive alive. Now they're down 17-3. They make it 17-10. And, you know, the next thing you know, they can't stop them. They get penalties again. I think the Cowboys, when I went through it, when I was watching the tape, Cowboys had 5 first downs by penalty.
Penalties.
They kept drives alive.
Yep. Penalties, turnover. So they're keeping drives alive. They're giving Dallas the football. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster. 33-10 loss for Carolina, who falls now to 1-9 on the season. How many more games does Frank Reich stay alive this season? We're going to step aside. We're going to keep it going, keeping alive with Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page as well, where you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. We've got a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. You can see which VSiN expert has the hot hand at any given time for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access. Come join us. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up on our Black Friday special now and get access to everything we do through May 1st, only $60 at VSiN.com/subscribe. As we welcome into the Lombardi Line now, Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. Speaking of Black Friday, the game coming up this week with the Dolphins and Jets, we're seeing a line move here, Thomas, with the news that it appears Tim Boyle is going to be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets. But I'm very curious, like, from your perspective as somebody who puts these numbers together, is Zach Wilson, is moving off of him really worth 2 points here? He hasn't done much of anything for the Jets offense except for turn the ball over.
No, he really hasn't. And you look at this offense as a whole, they've scored 9 touchdowns in 10 games so far this year. So I don't think it's not like anyone's really going to look much worse running this offense. Now, I guess you can say the issue here is the short week. When you bench Wilson, the other two guys that were the possibilities, whether it was Boyle or Trevor Siemian, won't have the amount of practice reps with the first team to prepare. But, you know, maybe slight overreaction here from what we're seeing in the market here moving up, because you're even seeing some tens pop now.
Yeah, I can't imagine that you know, that the this is now we know Miami on the road. I mean, look, yesterday, if you were on the Raiders yesterday, you're wondering how the hell you didn't cover that game, right? I mean, they had over 400 yards of offense. They turned the ball over repeatedly. They gave the Raiders every chance to stay in the game, and they couldn't do it. And now you're coming outdoors to New York with Tua. I know the Jets have this rumored great defense, but we haven't yet seen them stop anybody completely. And, you know, but when you put Boyle in with this Miami defense, I mean, does it really, is it fair?
Well, that's going to be the question here. Just what I think for Miami, it's just a question of how quickly they want to get out of MetLife and get into Manhattan to do some Black Friday Christmas shopping.
That's the truth.
I love that. When you go through all the action yesterday, best win for the books and worst loss, what do you got?
Well, the best win came from kind of an unexpected source for us, which was the New York Football Giants. And, you know, even here in the basically the backyard here of the Giants, they have abandoned, people have abandoned that team with Tommy DeVito, and ended up being a very, very good result for us with the Giants winning that game outright 31-19. You know, it was a week where we knew going in, when you looked at the spreads, you know, we needed one of those double digit favorites to lose outright it would be a good week for us. When that didn't happen, it was kind of like, all right, you have to look towards, maybe winning some bigger decisions elsewhere on the card. And, you know, we had a position there in the Steelers Browns game early on. We needed the Steelers. That game closed 2.5. The Browns do get the cover there. They win by 3. Lost that one. That wasn't a good one. But it was just really a matter of all those parlays. The money line parlays obviously were a very popular play this week with the bigger favorites. You did see some of the bigger favorites not cover those numbers. So the Dolphins, we just talked about Miami. They closed up as a 14-point favorite. Obviously did not cover that number. The Niners, they were moved up to a 13.5-point favorite at close. They didn't quite get there. 27-14 the final there. So we saw a lot of games yesterday, the 49ers included, where getting the best of the number, being able to maybe bet earlier in the week rather than waiting to Saturday or Sunday to get down, it really was a benefit to you because, you know, if you waited on the Niners and you got that closing line of 13.5, you lost that bet. We saw the same thing with the Cardinals and the Texans there. You could have gotten laid four and a half instead of laying 5.5 on Saturday or Sunday. And if you had done that on Saturday or Sunday, you put that bet in on Texans, you lost. So getting the best of the number, getting it earlier. I know some people, especially recreational players, don't always get the best of it early. You know, it's just they take whoever they're looking at the day of the game, but we'll see how things just didn't turn out for some people.
Well, the only game that really the line moved to the team that ended up winning, but then it cost you, was the Rams, right? They opened up as the dog and they closed as the favorite. Mm-hmm. And if you waited and took Seattle, you ended up covering that number. So it was really a strange weekend in terms of trying to get the right number and get the right team and get it all kind of together. But the two that shocked me were the Giants, the fact that they were +6 in their turnover takeaway. And that was a 3-point game going in is still remarkable, right? I mean, that's still a remarkable. You're +6 in turnover takeaway, and they have a chance to kind of get back into the game, and they still can't do it. All right, so tonight we got the Eagles. Where are you on the number? Because I know you're a Philly house, and I'm sure it's standing room only at the bar.
It's going to be a busy one. I mean, anytime you have the Super Bowl rematch, it's going to be a big game, and it's going to be a game with a lot of betting interest behind it. It makes it a little bit more special here because Philadelphia is a part of that. So this is going to be certainly one of, if not the biggest Monday Night Football games of the season from a betting perspective for us here in Atlantic City. And as you can imagine, Michael, it's been mostly Eagles money here. Now, we've been keeping it at 2.5 all week. And if people want to take that 2.5 rather than 3 with the Eagles, we'll let them do that. Now, most of the market is still 2.5. You know, a lot of places you're going to have to pay $1.20 to lay that with the Chiefs. But, you know, I'm happy to stay 2.5 here right now with the way people are still continuing to bet the Eagles here. So, yeah, it's no surprise. We're probably going to need the Chiefs here to cover this number tonight. And we'll see how it goes.
It seems like, too, largely across the country, the under money has come in, gone down from 47.5 to 45.5, despite we see that ticket count all over the over in this spot. Has that been a similar sign for you guys over there at the Borgata?
Yeah, you have seen the total drop. But, you know, you look at the defenses here, and obviously the Chiefs defense is a lot better than it was last year. Now, the Eagles defense, they are number one in rush defense in the league. However, passing wise, they are not very good at all. Teams have been able to exploit the secondary with them all season. Now they've had injuries in the secondary, so there hasn't been a lot of stability. So, you know, coming off the bye, get some guys back and healthy, but I think you're going to see a lot of passing attempts here from Mahomes in this one. I really do. And I think the Chiefs are really going to be looking to pass the ball because that's where you can exploit this Philadelphia defense.
Yeah, I think they're going to take it from Washington. Obviously, Washington's thrown the ball very effectively on Philly in the two games. And I don't think Kansas City minds getting into a little bit of a track meet. Now, the problem is for Mahomes, he's had 24 drops so far this season. Last year, he only had 33. It'll be interesting to see who they incorporate within their offense as they go forward. Is there anybody, what game of the week next week, Thanksgiving and Sunday and Friday, Saturday, is there any game that's getting a lot of bets right now on the Monday line?
Yeah, the two favorites there on Thanksgiving in the later games, Cowboys and the Niners, are getting a lot of early play, a lot of early interest from the bettors. The Packers-Lions game, a little bit of action on the Lions, but it's mostly been the favorites there in the later games. Cowboys and Niners have been pretty popular, and obviously Geno Smith's status, we'll see what gets reported through the week on him. And I think nobody's really that anxious to take any points here with the Commanders on the road with just losing to Tommy DeVito.
Oh, God, what an ugly game that was. 6 turnovers. I still can't get over it. TG, you're awesome. Thanks so much for doing this and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks,
this week.
Thanks, TG.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
That's Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. And again, that was a teaser leg that I loved last week. I keep on getting, there's always one. I feel like every week one of my teasers just gets crushed when it absolutely should not be.
That's why they call it teasers.
Because it's a
tease. I keep telling Femi, you got to get out of the teaser business. Well, like, it's not a good business to be in it. That's why Gable loves it. He loves people. That's why they call it teasers. It's a tease.
Well, Michael, here's a tease for the next segment. Don't look now, but the Broncos have won 4 in a row. Could Russell Wilson be, in fact, not cooked? We'll discuss when we return on the Lombardi.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There is so much to be thankful for this time of year. Family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use our code VEGAS, V-E-G-A, D-R-A-F-T-S, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. The crown is yours. We are cruising here on an Overreaction Monday edition of the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And I can't believe it's taken us this long to really dive into the Sunday Night Football game last night, Michael, because it was a fun one. The Minnesota Vikings, who appeared to be in control,
were leading. Take a bow. You were on it. You got it.
Thank you. Every now and then something comes together.
No, not every now and then. Everybody was on Denver yesterday. Everywhere I looked, Denver, and I like Denver too. I hate when I'm with, I hate that. Like everybody, when you're with the group, you got to leave the room. You just got to get out of it. But congratulations to you on this one.
Thank you kindly. Sometimes. Now, Denver still does win on the money line, which I think is really, really impressive for this Broncos team that has gone from a 1-5 start to the season to now 5-5, reeling off four straight wins. But the Minnesota Vikings, Michael, like I said, they should have won this game. And it should have been a clear-cut under, but that ended up being a sweat as well from this standpoint. 21-20, the final. So Minnesota covers, Denver wins outright. What were some of your biggest takeaways from this one?
Well, the first thing is look, the way Sean calls the game, the way Sean orchestrates the game, it's all with the intention of winning the game. It's not about pumping the stat sheets, you know. Whereas in Washington, they're trying to just dilute the stat sheets, forgetting about the quarterback's health, and they just want to get yards. This is a game where we thought, you know, that Denver would want to run the football. They ran it 15 times, but they ran a control passing game. I mean, that Russell was only threw 8 incomplete passes. He was sacked twice, but he was efficient. One long pass of 33 yards to Sutton. That was the big one, right? And so they managed the game correct. They were horrible on third down. They were like, I think they converted 2 third downs. They only had the ball for 25, 26 minutes. But yet they were efficient, and he took the points, Stormy. That was the thing that I liked. To me, you know, he goes out there and, you know, first drive of the game, he gets the fumble. They get one first down. They don't get the second down field goal, right? He goes back out there again, you know, and he's going to take the points. He's not going to pass up the points, even when people say, well, you know, you're at the Denver, you're sitting there, and you got a chance at the Minnesota 13, you should go for it. No, timeout. I'm going to take the points. And he did. And I think he's just doing a really good job of playing the game to give his defense a chance, his kicking game a chance to get the game into the fourth quarter. And lo and behold, he does. And that's when he has 4 possessions in the fourth quarter. One was at the end of the game. But then he runs 23 plays. He gets 8 first downs and he gets 13 points. And that's what wins the game for him.
So it seems like a lot of things have just been coming together over these last 4 weeks, that it has been a significant change where Russell Wilson is a lot more in control. I mean, he only has 4 interceptions on the year, but no picks over this streak. The defense and takeaways, Michael, are what have impressed me most about this Denver Broncos team. 12 takeaways in the last 3 games after just 7 in the first 7 weeks of the year. For a defense that got embarrassed the way they did earlier this season, got lit up for 70 points, it could have been really easy for that group to pack it in and say, okay, like we are what we are, but they have not taken that approach at all. And it's off to the races for that defense.
It really is. And, you know, they've done such a good job. I mean, look, yesterday we thought Minnesota's problems earlier in the year was their inability to hold on to the football. They fumbled more than any team in the National Football League, and they continue that trend. And that's what cost them this game. The fumble to start the game, you know, they spot them the football right there at the Minnesota 30, at their own 30. And then they get another one at their own. They get the ball at their own 9. You know, now Minnesota's defense played really well in those situations because they were able to hold them to 6 points, or else this game could have been a little bit different. But he didn't turn down the points either. That's the other thing. He didn't turn them down. He took them. And you got to give them credit for that. They were able to get the ball. Madison's fumble was a backbreaker. It really was. It became hard. I think what Kevin O'Connell's done is remarkable. It really is. What Joshua Dobbs and what Brian Flores has done with this defense, the way they played, especially in the red zone, how they kind of mess you up a little bit. It was impressive. I mean, it really was. But that being said, it just, you know, there's moments where, you know, when you don't win the red zone or you don't capitalize on the mistakes and you give away the ball too much, even if you control it for 35 minutes, you're still going to lose.
No question. But we had the schedule up on the screen a moment ago for the Minnesota Vikings. How about the amount of opportunity that they have down the stretch to continue to make a push here? I was sad for Josh Dobbs. I wanted him to get the win yesterday. I've loved the story. Probably been my favorite too. In the league right now. But you get the Bears on Monday Night Football coming up, a bye, and then Raiders, Bengals without Joe Burrow. The Lions, of course, twice are going to be tough, but the Packers as well, who are very beatable. And I talk about the Lions in high esteem because they've been able to win as many games as they have, and they pull off another remarkable one yesterday, but they're looking a little bit off right now. Michael, what did you take away from the win yesterday against the Bears?
Well, I mean, Goff was really back to being Jared Goff.
That was
Goff
his worst
I mean,
his worst game as a Lion, right?
He looked really bad. He looked skittish. He threw the ball away. I mean, he made some really bad decisions. He had a couple there. He had one on the red zone, down in the red zone, before they threw the touchdown pass that at the end of the half. That could have been a pick six going the other way. I mean, Eddie Jackson had a chance to take it the entire way, and he dropped it. And it was right there at the goal line. I mean, he's thrown in the end zone. They got they did what good teams do. They didn't play well, and they won.
Yep.
And they did it in the last 4 minutes. I mean, I think what happens in games, this is where I always talk about all the time. This is where a head coach has to understand the game, what he's watching. I mean, they get the ball back. They got a chance at 3rd and 1 at the Lions 20-yard line. They were in the red zone, 3rd and 1. And instead of letting Justin Fields, who played well, instead of letting him run the ball or do something with the ball, they try to run Herbert on an inside zone play, and they get stuffed. Mm. Now, Eberflus took the points, but you knew at that moment that they were still 2 touchdowns they could lose. Now, nobody thought that it was going to happen as quick as it did, but it did. So they kick it there, and Goff comes down the field. The Bears can't get any pass rush. They can't put any pressure on Goff, and all of a sudden he throws a deep ball for a touchdown to Jameson, and now they're back in it. Now you get the ball back, and there's 2:58 to go in the game, and you got to say to yourself on the coordinator on the headset, yeah, I know we want to get their timeouts away, but we can't give them the ball back. We can't give them the ball. Everybody said, well, the Bears got tired. The Bears defense only played 20 minutes. How'd they get tired? How did they get tired? They only played 20 minutes. The Bears offense controlled the ball for 40 minutes. It's just somebody says something, it makes no sense. Like, you had to get your first down. So what do? They come out and they run the ball twice with Herbert, and then they throw a deep ball down the field that's incomplete. Like, at some point, you got to put the ball in Fields' hand as a runner, because he was dynamic. He had over 100 yards. He did exactly what he did to the Lions the last time they played him.
Well, and that's what makes him and his skill set a difference maker. So it's interesting that they're not utilizing that in the moments when you need it to. Teams, Michael, had been 0-83 when trailing by 10 plus points in the final 4 minutes entering Sunday. In fact, with 4 minutes and 20 seconds left to go in this game, the Bears, according to ESPN stats and information, had a 98.2% chance of winning.
Yeah,
could not pull it off. Just got overpowered by the Lions those final two drives. And so for Jared Goff, who had 3 interceptions, and like I said, maybe his worst game as a Lion up until those last two drives, put the booze away, Lions fans who are trying to call him out during the game, because he ends up winning it for you. The Bears, though, do cover as an 8-point dog. Over 48 comes in as well. So
let's go back to Minnesota for
some breaking news, though, real quickly. I just want to make sure to you. Pete Carroll says he's optimistic Geno Smith is going to play on Thursday. So just want to make sure I get that out, and we can talk about it more in a little bit. But go ahead.
No, that's important. No, but I want to get back to Minnesota. I mean, they got 6 wins, right? And I got to believe that anybody coming from that NFC, I think 9 gets you in the NFC. Don't you?
I do.
I can't imagine. I think that 9 gets you in the NFC. I mean, right now they're the 7th seed, Green Bay, and they're 2 games ahead of Green Bay, and they have to play Green Bay. I don't think the Rams, based on what I saw, I think Matthew Stafford's one tough human being. He really is. But they look like they ran out of gas, right? I mean, Atlanta could be. I doubt it. But who else is going to compete for them? Tampa? I mean, they should be the 7th seed fairly, right? Don't you agree?
I do. And it's interesting because the NFC is, it's top heavy, right? But then once you get to those, you know, 6, 7, 8.
Once you get past the, it's really 4 teams, and Dallas is the 4th. New Orleans, Seattle, Minnesota, all those are kind of the same. I mean, Seattle losing yesterday was a heartbreaker. Now, we'll talk about that after the break, but Seattle had a chance to win that game. The Rams gave them every opportunity to win it, and they did take advantage of it.
Yeah, they were up 9 in the second half. Geno Smith goes out with the tricep injury. it was just things fell apart pretty quickly after that. They still he came back into the game, and glad to hear that Pete Carroll is optimistic about his status coming up on Thursday. But if I am Seattle, there's some cause for some concern going up against this stout San Francisco 49ers team that seemed to find their stride. Another big win for them yesterday against Tampa. Thought for a moment they might give some stuff away, but Brock Purdy, perfect passer rating, the first 49ers quarterback to do so since Joe Montana. Now, I'm not comparing things. I'm just saying.